Welcome to the Dharma Realm Podcast.
And we are coming to you from the Kodo of the Jodo Shinshu Center here in Berkeley, California.
I am Dr. Scott Mitchell.
And I'm Reverend Harry Bridge. And this is actually the first podcast in what will hopefully become a series. And today we are going to talk about mindfulness.
This is part one of our discussion on mindfulness.
So one thing that I've been looking at lately for a study class was looking at the idea of mindfulness.
Right.
And we hear about mindfulness a lot.
It gets a lot of press.
It gets a lot of press. And I find that usually, you know, we have these kind of general ideas about mindfulness or meditation or whatever. But as myself, as a pseudo-scholar, someone interested in Buddhism on that level but not doing it professionally, I still appreciate the ability, well, it's not really an ability, the opportunity to be able to look this stuff up and dig into it deeper.
The sort of textual, the philosophical, what does this stuff mean?
Absolutely.
Right.
And when I go for my study class, which is for kind of regular people, and I bring a big stack of books, they always get really intimidated. But what I try to do is break it down more, and you don't have to necessarily get bogged down, I think, in the textual and philosophical background, but it's good to be able to go there.
Start somewhere, anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
So the reason, it's kind of funny, because the reason that I got into this is I was originally going to do the six paramitas, the six perfections for Ohigan, which is coming up. And I got out my book, my new favorite book, The Bodhisattva Doctrine in Buddhist Sanskrit Literature by Har Dayal from 1932 or something. And looking at six paramitas in here, I kind of, before that section is the 37, what are they called? 37 factors contributing to awakening.
It's a lot of factors.
Yeah. It's one of those crazy Buddhist lists.
Right. And I love the Buddhist lists.
This book is hilarious because he gives you what each set is. It's like the four somethings, the three somethings. And of course, he only gives you the Sanskrit name.
Of course.
And you actually have to actually read the text to figure out what each one is. But the first four, well, actually the last eight of the 37 factors is Eightfold Path.
Really?
Yeah, that's what fascinated me. So I was like looking at Paramitas and went back and discovered, wait a second, right before that is a list that has Eightfold Path at the end.
Well, I mean, and mindfulness is one of the, is the seventh fold on the Eightfold Path? Right.
And so I backed up to the beginning, and the first set of four is the four mindfulnesses, which I don't think is a word. So maybe fourfold mindfulness, or the four mindfulnesses.
Or the four kinds of mindfulness.
Four kinds of mindfulness.
Or, and of this, of the list that you have here, it looks like there are four sort of objects of mindfulness almost.
Yes.
Like things you should be mindful of.
Right. And mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of feelings or sensations, mindfulness of thoughts or mind, and then mindfulness of phenomena. So
I always like these lists where they have mindfulness of mind or consciousness of consciousness.
Right.
But I think, I mean, I like that because I think it sort of, I mean, you know, it's not like, like mindfulness of thoughts here is citta or chitta.
Chitta
is the Sanskrit. But you know, it's not like chitta of chitta in the original,
right?
So there's, but I think we, in English, there's sort of a we equate those two words, right? Like mindfulness or consciousness is sort of not the same thing, but it's like the same kind of thing. In Buddhism, particularly in the hardcore Buddhist philosophy, there's various different levels of mind and different kinds of consciousness, and and it's really, really deconstructed, to use a modern philosophical term. But so I love these lists where they're like mindfulness of mindfulness. Sounds sort of schizophrenic. Like, how do you do that?
Right, and that's again where having some awareness of the Sanskrit terms, or Chinese or Japanese or whatever, be seeing chitta and realizing that that has something to do with mind, like bodhicitta, mind of awakening.
Because mindfulness is usually a translation of smriti,
Smriti or sati, I think, for the Pali.
Pali, right.
So I found this list, and thought, okay, I'm going to do my study class on this, and then realized, okay, I only have a few hours, and now I got to figure out what is mindfulness, and, you know.
Now I have to figure it out.
Yeah. But mindfulness is really kind of a basic concept in Buddhism, too,
right. Huh? Yeah, I think so. When we talked about it during this podcast thing, I went to all of my old books, mm-hmm. And I pulled up Wapola Rahula's sort of classic, What mm-hmm. the Buddha Taught, mm-hmm. Which he doesn't spend a lot of time talking about mindfulness in there, but he does in that context of the Eightfold Path.
Okay.
Under that section of the Eightfold Path, he says, you know, mindfulness is really about, you know, it's very meditation-centric. It's very, like, while you're in meditation, you should mm-hmm. be mindful of the body, mindful of the mind, mindful of all the stuff that's going on mm-hmm. in order to have that realization of, I think, really the five skandhas is what mm-hmm. he eventually gets to, because the five skandhas are a big deal in I think, his tradition, mm-hmm. Which, you know, they're a big deal in general. But mm-hmm. So the five skandhas, I had to look that up because I had forgotten.
I was hoping you weren't going to ask.
I can't now, of course, recall right. what they are, but I know that they're form, feeling, consciousness again, perception, mm-hmm. and I think phenomena, out,
okay.
the right. external right. phenomena, I right. think.
Right. But, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, why not? but, you know, it's one of those things, right, where the Buddha says that these are the five things that make up a human being, and you can't have one without the other four, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and that's how, you know, in that sort of interrelatedness of those five skandhas is right. why there's no permanent self, right? Because right. None of those things can exist by itself, and you can't have a full sentient being without all five of those things, mm-hmm. and they're all impermanent, so you take one away, and ta-da, enlightenment.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's what I found, too, in this, the Dayal book, where, like, mindfulness of the body is the first one, mm-hmm. and I think if it was just English, normal English, you would think mindfulness of the body. Okay, awareness of the body. Right. What is my body feeling right now?
Right.
But then in looking here, it's, where's that part? It's basically that idea that mindfulness and then this awareness of what is this body.
Right.
It's nothing.
Right.
It's empty of inherent existence. It's transient and fragile. It is like unto a foam bubble. Right? And so... But
I love that.
Yeah, and it's so, that's why I realize it's so important to read some of this stuff every now and again, at the very least.
Right.
Because it's there's this wealth of metaphors.
Right.
And it reminds you of kind of the urgency and the importance of all this stuff in right. the Buddhist tradition. Because I think often it gets kind of smoothed out and
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of like feel good, kind of just be mindful and aware
right.
of your feelings.
Right.
Which I'm guilty of myself, but
sure.
still.
I came up with a lot of that when I was doing the field work for my dissertation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where I'd interview people and they, you know, why do you do Buddhist practice? And there's all this people saying, oh, well, you said to be mindful. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, but mindful of what? And what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and what's the point of being mindful? And, you know, I think in a lot of sort of mainstream American, particularly Zen kind of communities, there's a sort of, like you were saying, sort of like watering down of, well, mm-hmm. we're all gonna be mindful and be okay, but it's kind of heavy stuff.
Yeah. And it's not only Zen, I think it's Pure Land Buddhism as well, Jodo uh-huh. Shinshu, where we have these kind of catchwords, you
right.
know, and we
compassion,
use it in
mindfulness.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
And forget sometimes, I think, the how heavy duty it can be.
Right.
So, yeah, looking at these four, mindfulness of the body, feelings, thoughts. And the interesting thing with the phenomena, like you pointed out, is that kind of completes the picture, because the
right.
first three are all internal.
Right.
And the number four is everything else.
Right.
All, like, physical things, quote unquote.
Right. And that's huge if you think yeah. about it. Like, being mindful of the body is not necessarily easy, but you can sort of easily explain that, particularly in a meditation context, right? Like, that's what they talk about, like Suzuki, his version of Zen, right, in America was all about watching the breath and, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. following the breath and watching the mind, and that's what you're being mindful of. And that's sort of something you can work on, which I think is important. Mm-hmm. But then when you bring in phenomena, like, be mindful of the entire world, of mm-hmm. the entire cosmos. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How does that work mm-hmm. in sort of day-to-day life? Mm-hmm. And I think that's particularly sort of relevant and important, because we're, you know, I experience this a lot in my day-to-day life, I think probably because I live in the Bay Area, which is very congested, and so there's always people around me who are very not mindful. So you sort of run up against that, right? There's this other, the external world is always sort of around you, and you have to be conscious of it. And
Right.
That's, to me, that's my mindfulness practice, getting to work safely.
Actually, my office person today said, when I was leaving, she said, remember to be mindful while you're driving, which is great.
Right, yes.
I mean, that was great. That's what it's about in a way, right?
Yeah.
Getting those reminders, friendly reminders, right?
Right?
And so I think I was. I noticed when I was driving 77, 80 miles an hour, okay, chill out. You're not in that much of a hurry. Slow it back down. Even if other people are going that fast, you don't have to, right?
Right, so, right.
Well, again, mindfulness of phenomena, here's Dayal again saying that the bodhisattva who applies mindfulness to phenomena realizes that phenomena arise from causes and are thus relative and interdependent.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah.
It's like taking it right to the end. Like, be mindful of the fact that all of this is not the point.
Right.
That all of this is fundamentally empty and shouldn't be attached to. Right?
Right.
So one of the really interesting things that I got from... I think actually it came from Gethin, or how do you pronounce his name? This other book, The Buddhist Path to Awakening, which is about this 37-fold path. Says, like you pointed out, mindfulness appears in eightfold path.
Right.
There's the four mindfulnesses at the beginning, and it appears in two of the other lists, too.
Which ones?
I don't know. They're in Sanskrit. That's the next podcast when I look it up.
All right.
But the interesting thing is that what he points out is that in one sense, mindfulness is the most basic. It's kind of the foundation, and it's the first four are mindfulness.
Right.
But at the same time, they're the most advanced.
Right.
And that in that sense, mindfulness is important on both of those levels.
Right.
As kind of an introductory kind of level and as a basic level and a foundational level, but also that kind of the peak of the practice is also mindfulness.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So... I think when we look at these sayings, when mindfulness means be mindfulness of the emptiness of all things,
right?
You know, it's like that's maybe impossible for us to do, but we need to remember that that is kind of the point ultimately.
Right. That's what we're working for,
yeah.
Really. I mean, I was thinking earlier today that all of this stuff—the mindfulness, the Eightfold Path, all the lists, and everything—we sort of all the catchphrases we have, right? Mm-hmm. They're really just teaching tools. They're ways to get us to think differently about. Not only ourselves, right, but also our relationship to the rest of the world, right? That, you know, we sort of walk around assuming that we're these independent people with our own little agendas and we're sort of with our blinders on and then, oh, mindful of all phenomena, holy. last week, I think it was, Carl Bielefeld, you know him?
Oh, yeah.
He was here giving a talk about Dogen.
I wanted to go to that.
Which was pretty funny. He's a pretty funny guy to watch. But at the end of the talk, because he used to also be a student of Suzuki's.
Okay, wow.
So he's not only this hardcore scholar, but also, you know, has practiced Zen and whatnot. Mm-hmm. A woman in the audience who I'm assuming is from the sort of San Francisco Zen community asked a question, and I can't remember exactly what she said, but her point was, you know, isn't Dogen saying that we're all supposed to be, you know, mindful and have our, not mindful, but, you know, in that moment of meditation, be calm and have our mind settled and Bielefeld was like, no, not at all. It's like, no, Dogen wants to just totally mess up your mind and have you totally confused and have this, like, crisis. And I was like, yeah, I think so. Like, once you have this realization that you're somehow connected to everything else in the universe, you can't be calm. That's I think that's too much for your mind to handle, really. I mean, that's, if you think about that for a second, like, you're going to be pushed to some sort of existential crisis because you're going to have to change how you understand your relationship to everything.
Interesting.
So
can that come from within yourself? Can that come from like just your intellectualization?
Right.
And from your just, yeah, I'm calm during the day or something like that, right?
Yeah.
It's something bigger than that, right? It kind of is bursting out from you and bursting in on you. And,
right.
Huh.
Heavy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. This concludes part one of the Dharma Realm podcast for March 21st, 2008. Please tune in to part two.